It's May 4th, 2020, and this is Markets Daily from CoinDesk. I'm Adam B. Levine, here again with John Biggs for your daily news roundup. And just a reminder, CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice. Today's episode is sponsored by ErisX, the Stellar Development Foundation, and Grayscale Large Cap Investment Fund. And now, the news.
Bingo, bango.
BTC is rallying, but we could see a pullback after the halving, according to analyst predictions. BTC has risen by over 130% since bottoming out at the 3,867 on March 13th, according to CoinDesk Bitcoin Price Index. The cryptocurrency jumped from $6,700 to $9,400 in the last 10 days of April alone. The big gains happened in the weeks leading up to the mining reward halving, due May 12th, and are reminiscent of similar price rallies seen ahead of the previous two halvings, which took place in 2016 and 2012. The bad news, what comes up must go down, as experts expect a solid run-up and then a dip as the prices resettle. Time will tell. Bitcoin is currently trading at $8,764, while Ether is trading at $204, according to the CoinDesk Price Index.
The Bitfinex crypto exchange is making a new push to find and potentially recover more than $800 million in user funds seized by legal authorities in four different countries. iFinex Inc., Bitfinex's parent firm, applied for subpoenas in Colorado, Arizona, and Georgia this month, asking federal courts to aid it in deposing banks that may have held funds for Crypto Capital, the payment processor on which Bitfinex stored customers and exchange funds. iFinex applied for a subpoena Tuesday to depose SunTrust Bank employees in Georgia. This follows a similar subpoena request to depose the Bank of Colorado earlier in April and ABT and Trust in Arizona. Bitfinex is looking for evidence to support its legal claims to about $880 million held in bank accounts in Poland, Lisbon, London, and elsewhere that have been seized by authorities pursuing anti-money laundering criminal charges against Crypto Capital. The filing in Arizona stated, quote, Crypto Capital used a bank account with Citibank to accept certain deposits from applicants' customers. The account was held in the name of Global Trading Solutions, LLC, end quote. Bitfinex General Counsel Stuart Hoegner told CoinDesk the filings are aimed squarely at obtaining further information about the funds held by Crypto Capital. Support for this podcast and this message come from ErisX.
With ErisX, you can trade spot and regulated futures on cryptocurrencies through a licensed U.S.-based exchange. ErisX believes in fair access for all. Sign up today to take advantage of zero fees and learn more at erisx.com/consensus.
This episode is also sponsored by the Stellar Development Foundation. The Stellar Network connects your business to the global financial infrastructure. Whether you're looking to power a payment application or issue digital assets like stablecoins or digital dollars, Stellar is easy to learn and fast to implement. Start your journey today at stellar.org/coindesk. Our final sponsor is Grayscale Digital Large Cap Fund. In times like these, diversification is key. Consider Grayscale Digital Large Cap Fund, ticker symbol GDLC. It's the only publicly traded investment product that offers diversified exposure to large cap digital currencies, all from your brokerage account. For more information, visit grayscale.co/coindesk. That's grayscale.co/coindesk.
A New Jersey judge ruled last week that Riot Blockchain's decision to change its name was not, in itself, tantamount to securities fraud. U.S. District Judge Frieda Wolfson of the District Court of New Jersey dismissed a lawsuit Thursday which tried to argue that the Colorado-based firm had changed its name to Riot Blockchain in an effort to boost its price share. Riot changed its name from Bioptics in October 2017 after announcing a move from biotechnology into Bitcoin mining. The share price soon rocketed up from $8 to a high of $38 by December 2017. The original complaint, filed in February 2018 when the share price plunged back down to $10, argued that the company misled investors by capitalizing on public interest in blockchain to drive up the share price. But in Thursday's filing, complaints against Riot Blockchain, its CEO John O'Rourke, former CEO Michael Beagley, and chairman Jeffrey G. McGonigal were all dismissed on the basis that plaintiffs had not proven the company had changed its name to pump its share price. In February, the Securities and Exchange Commission told Riot Blockchain it, too, was dropping the investigation into allegations of securities fraud.
In government news, U.S. Senate staffers on the Permanent Subcommittee of Investigations, hunting for tech to keep the chamber legislating through the crisis, floated blockchain voting in an April 30th continuity of Senate memo. Coming several days before the Senate's planned return from its COVID-19 recess, the 29-page memo, which is not a proposal to change Senate rules or from a committee that reviews them, preceded the subcommittee's Thursday roundtable on crisis time continuity solutions. And of the options, blockchain is perhaps the most controversial when it comes to remote voting. Over the past years, researchers have blasted blockchain and internet-based voting platforms as insecure and bug-prone, prompting some election authorities to pull out of plans to use them, at least for now.
And finally, it's May the 4th, and Star Wars fans are giddy with excitement. We wanted to share one of our favorite moments from the films in hopes that the Force will be forever in your favor.
Dr. McCoy, you inadvertently activated a torpedo. Could you replicate the process?
Why the hell would I want to do that?
Can you or can you not?
Damn it, man, I'm a doctor, not a torpedo technician.
The fact that you're a doctor is precisely why I need you to listen very carefully.
And that's the news.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back with your next news roundup on Tuesday. And just a reminder, the CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice.